Our Father, we thank you with the overwhelming needs of our world. There is an equal power to counteract. And Lord, as we sit here in these meetings, help us to understand some of the practical details of what that involves. And I just pray, use this dear brother who's had so much experience relating to the needs of our world to help us understand how to be men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you. It's a blessing to be here. I've been looking forward to being here with you, and it has so far been such a blessing, such a blessing. If the Lord keeps on blessing us like it has so far, how will we take it all? Brother Allen asked that I would first introduce myself. I'd rather he'd do it, but he told me to. I work in Costa Rica, a sister church to Brother Dale. We're about an hour and 20 minutes between us. But we do work together in a lot of things. I have five children, a precious wife the Lord gave me. And we have five children and three grandchildren, which is my delight. The church sent us to Chachagua when I was 6 months after we were married. And we've been there since, 36, 37 years, I guess, that we've been there. And important thing, that we're servants of the Master. A man after God's heart. A man after God's heart. I'm sure that's a title that we all long for. And we just heard a tremendous message last night too. And Lord is working on us. I think probably we've all tasted a little bit, and yet we all yearn for more. More usefulness. And Brother Dale led us in that. And today I'd like to approach this subject a little differently. I think it's day before yesterday. I was talking to a young man who teaches music. He teaches music in two different schools here in Ohio somewhere. And he teaches from kindergarten to high school. So I asked him, what method does he use? How do you teach? And as we discussed it, he says we do a lot of singing. A lot of singing. He, of course, teaches theory too. We do a lot of singing. So today, as we look at the heart that God wants us, I'd like to just do something a little similar. We could spend the next 2 days describing the heart that has the heart of God. But I think today, this time, the Lord has laid on my heart, use a little different approach. I'd like to invite you to worship with me. I'd like to talk about God. When we know Him, we meet Him. We meet Him, we know Him. But constantly He's drawing us closer. So I'd like to invite you to let's worship our God together. And I think God will speak to us because as we know His heart, it transforms our heart. That common verse we all know, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Not our own understanding. That's one of the biggest hindrances we have. Brother Dale talked about that. It was talked about last night. The biggest hindrance we have in our ministry is not limitations on God. We know that. The biggest hindrance to our ministry is ourselves and our own understandings. And the Lord keeps working on me. I tend to be a little overly confident. Dale knows me well. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. What does it mean to acknowledge Him? You know, we think of directing our paths. We think, well, He's going to, move this way, move this way. Direct me, lead me. And that's true. He does that. I praise the Lord. He does that for me. But just knowing Him, knowing His character, knowing who God is, that gives direction to our lives. His character, who He is, gives direction to the way we live. And if I'm not mistaken, that's a crying need. Well, there's so many needs among us in God's people, is to see God for who He is. So easy we have wrong concepts of God, and it affects the way we live. It affects the way we minister because of a weak or a wrong concept of God. A few years ago, they asked me to teach on Jesus, the King of the Kingdom. So I spent quite a bit of time in preparation for the class seeking for the real Jesus. And I read the Gospels over and over again. The Gospels. And I came to see that there's some concepts in my life that, do I really know the real Jesus? I think that's the problem we have today in our world. We have a false God. The way we look at God, I'll be using the name God and Jesus interchangeably here because they're both God, you know. But is a wrong concept of who God is and how God thinks and how God works. And so then our ministry is affected and our lives are affected by that. So I'd like to invite you to worship with me today. And I'm going to go over a few of His attributes today. I'm going to read. I really wish the biggest hindrance right now is me standing here. I wish I could just somehow sit down with you and we could hear the words of God. We could do it through singing. I appreciate singing with Brother John leading that song and his heart in those songs. We could do it singing. But I'd like to this morning just read some scripture. I've got them written out here. If you want to keep up with me, it might be sort of hard to do it. The first one I want you to all look at together with then. That's Exodus 34. Then I'm going to be reading some scripture. And maybe you'd just rather just close your eyes and listen. But I'd like to invite us to worship who God is, to think about who God is. Nothing new. I don't expect to give you something necessarily new. I just want to lead us to worship Him. And as we worship Him, we become more useful and we become smaller. We become smaller as we worship Him. And as Brother Dale told us earlier, that is one of the primary needs, is to become smaller. Let's start with Exodus 34. This is one of my favorite passages of God's character, because here God is describing Himself. We remember the story, all the problems that the people had, and Moses is discouraged, and, you know, what do we do, Lord? And if you don't go with me, Lord, I won't face this alone. I can't handle this alone. And then he says, God, I want to see Your glory. And I think we understand that longing. I think we've also felt it, Lord. We want to see You, want to know You. We want to make that contact, like Dale says here, to receive something to give. But if you don't receive it, what do you have? You ever feel empty when you're going to give? Of course we have. But to know Him and to receive from Him, and Moses says, Lord, I want to see Your glory. And of course we know the story. And Jesus, the Lord says, and He said, I will make, this is verse 5 in chapter 33. 33:19. And He said, I will make all My goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. First of all, the goodness passing, and Moses was in this sort of a cleft or something here, and he puts his hand, God passes, and then pulls, and he says, you can see the hinder parts of me. But you know, that's not the emphasis of the passage. I'm not sure if Moses saw much, because it says he put his face on the ground in the presence of a holy God. But what he did do, and praise the Lord, we can read it today, he says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And we can read that today. And this is God Himself talking. God Himself describing Himself. So as we read this, I'd like to just challenge us all to worship. You know what worship is? It's humbling our hearts, meditating on Him. Worship is not emptying our mind and just repeating phrases and just getting us worked up and excited. You know, there's people that do that. They have this service where they get up and they repeat and they repeat and they get this thing going, they get this thing going, they get this thing going to build up of a emotion. That's not worship. Worship is to meditate. So I'd like to challenge you. Please, can you forget me? I don't know how whatever you think about me, that's not important. Try to forget whatever else is beside you. Well, we're here. It's beautiful to worship together, isn't it? But as we read, meditate on the Word. That's worship. And like I said, this first one, I'd like you to look at it with me. Then I'll be reading a lot of Scripture, a lot of verses. And I'd just like to encourage you, if you want to close your eyes and just think, meditate on Him, and let's worship together. Let's start here, and I'd like to read first Exodus 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? God descended, came down, and He told us. He proclaimed His name. Talk about His name. It's who He is. And now let's read on. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. I'd like to encourage us to do that today and just think about God here. Let's meditate on God. First of all, it uses the word Lord twice. It says the Lord, the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord God. I'm not complaining about this at all, but this word is translated from the word Yahweh or the word Jehovah. And Brother Dale, I sort of agree with you. I'd much rather preach in Spanish. How would that be for you? So switch here. And I would much rather use my Spanish Bible. This is one I always use. I mean, use my English Bible a little. But here it says, the Lord, the Lord. That's a translation from the word Jehovah. In Spanish, the translator left Jehovah. It's like the word Christ. The Christ is really not the translation. If it's the anointed, it would be the anointed one. See? So here they translate it and said Lord. And I'm not, that's fine. Except the name, except that the name Jehovah is more than just Lord. Lord's a true picture of Jehovah. But the picture of Jehovah, if you study that word, is much more than just He's Lord. The word Jehovah is the self-existent, eternal God. It ties in with when God said to Moses, I am that I am. And you remember when Jesus talking to the Pharisees, says, I am. And they understood. He is saying He's God. So they tried to kill Him. The self-existent God. Now let's just think about that. In my mind, I like to think about these things, but I can't reach it all. There's so many things, I just can't reach it all. But He's self-existent. He didn't come from anyone. He doesn't depend on anyone else. He is self-existent. He doesn't need anyone else. You know, really, if I understand, He doesn't need us. It's a wonder that He has called us and wants to use us. But He doesn't need us. He is self-sufficient. It's hard for us to understand that because we're so far from that. I appreciate when Brother John puts his arm around and prays for me. He goes, I need it. I need help. But God doesn't. He's self-sufficient. He's the all-eternal, self-sufficient God. Depends on no one. His self-existence and yet His love is so beautiful. Eternal God. He says, Jehovah, Jehovah God. He repeats that. I am. It's like us saying, I am that I am, like He told Moses. I am that I am. If we could only grasp that, He exists and He's the all-eternal power of God. He is. I am God. That word God is a Hebrew word, if I understand right. It means, I am the Almighty One, the Great Powerful One. Now, can you follow me? Can you just sort of forget me? Think about that. I am that I am. the Almighty God. I'll just throw this in to get us going the right way. And He has called you. Then he goes on to say, and there's a description so beautiful. This Almighty God that is way beyond what we can even understand. Self-existent, doesn't need us. You know, why me? You don't know me. I do. I don't know you, but you do. And that this all-existing, eternal God calls me and he says, merciful. Did you need mercy? Did I need mercy? Oh, yes. Wouldn't be for the mercy of God, what would I be? But this all self-existing God in His mercy and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. I'll talk a little more about His truth later. I'm just going to run over these here now. But His mercy, His kindness, the all-existent eternal God. One of my favorite phrases, I shouldn't say favorite, so many verses I just love, is in Revelation chapter 1 when the Apostle John describes Jesus, and he says, I think he says the first among the dead and this, and then he says, and He who loves us. He loves me. That's what fills my needs of my heart. In this. He loves me. The Almighty God, the Eternal Father, loves me in His mercy and His gracious, His grace, His long-suffering is for us. Then He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. In Deuteronomy 7, it says, keeping mercy for a thousand generations. Imagine 1,000 generations. I didn't take time to do math on that one, how many years that would be. But 1,000 generations. His graciousness. And then he says, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. You can do a study of those three words, and it pretty well covers all the sins that we have committed. But His mercy is such, and I look back at my life, and I would like to encourage us, we can be honest, we can be humble. Who were we? Who are we? Only by the grace of God, that's often said, but I don't know if we all understand it. Only by the grace of God, I am what I am. He has forgiven my sins. But then there's another phrase that follows right after this. He says, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Now, why does he say that back to back? He just said he will forgive iniquity, transgression, and Spanish says rebellion, here it's sin. He forgives us, he forgives all of our sins. Then he goes right after that and says, and it's interesting, I don't know if I'll get into that, but if you study the attribute of God and talk about His mercy and His love, very often in the same context, He'll talk about His mercy to certain ones and then He'll say, but to others. That's where I think we have, in the modern world, we have a misconcept of God. But here he says the two things. This wonderful thing that he forgives all our sins. And yet he says, but by no means will he clear the guilty. Can you put that together? I think that in view of the development of Scripture and understanding Scripture, we can understand that. At least this is the conclusion I've come to. And if some of you older brethren here can help me out on that, I'd be glad on it that when there's a repentant heart that turns to God, everything is forgiven. But a hardened heart, we'll look at that a little later. A hardened heart, a sinful heart, God cannot forgive. As long as it's that way, because of who He is. Because of who He is. He cannot overlook. Overlook, I was thinking of a Spanish word. Pasar por alto. He cannot overlook and just shrug his shoulders. It's okay, we'll let it go. God's character does not allow that. So now, I'm going to read some verses. I want to look at He is Creator. I want to look at He is Sovereign. He is omnipotent and He is holy. And He is truth. Let's see if we can cover those here. And as we look at these verses, I'm going to read some passages. And like I said, if you want to page your Bible fast, you can keep up with me if you like. If you don't, just listen. But please keep your... I know we have a modern problem, which is the discipline of keeping our mind on one thing. We're so used to clicking links. Click, 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 and bounce around all over. And we don't have the ability to think. So I'd like to encourage you, as I read, if you look it up, fine. The first one's Nehemiah 9:5. But if not, just listen. You can even close your eyes and listen. Nehemiah 9:5 says, "Stand up and bless the Lord." And that word, and I'm sorry, but in Hebrew is, "Stand up and bless Jehovah, your God." Bless Jehovah, your God, forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. That word is Jehovah alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Is he worthy of worship? Everything. You know, you go into the, I love nature, I love natural things, and you can never finish. Everything you study, listen, everything in the natural world you study has beauty in it, has order, structure, and a purpose, a design in it. And as we look at that, and we, wow, you go to the microscopic, you can go to flowers, you can go to birds, you can go to plants, you can go fire, wind, whatever you study, rocks, minerals. And then you go to the outer space. And you know, isn't this amazing? The stronger they make the telescopes, the more galaxies they see. Where does it end? I can almost, I don't know if God chuckles or not. I almost think God said when He created, He says, chuckle, here's something to think about. And those galaxies, just millions of galaxies out. They said there's millions of them. I haven't seen them. But it's just limitless. Just, wow. Oh, it's a shame, I think, that scientists who study these things, and for us, we just bow the knee and worship. What a mighty God we serve. You know, what a mighty God. Why didn't He make... Don't you think six kinds of flowers would be enough? What about 10 fruits? Have you thought about how many fruits there are? How many flowers? It's just abundance. And the Bible says He made it all with understanding. And He didn't just say... Put a button here on the computer and brrr. But he planned it. He thought it with understanding. So He is so great. All we can do is bow the knee and worship. I can't even start to understand our Creator God. In Acts, Paul told the Athenians, he says, "God that made the world." Now listen to the word. This is more important than what I just said. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made by hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything. Seeing He giveth life, He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. Though He be not far away from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. God is everywhere. Do you know God's closer to you than the person sitting beside you? He's everywhere. The things we can't understand. The times appointed and the bounds of the habitation and all these things we don't understand. But like Dale was saying earlier, this inside of us, if we can happily touch Him, if we can find Him. And I can say that with confidence. I don't often preach to a group of people like you men here. I'm sure all of you have found Him. I hope so. We have found Him. We know Him. But I think you'd agree with me, we want to know Him more. Know Him more. And then Revelation 4, a beautiful book of Revelations that glorifies Jesus. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All things are for His glory. That includes me and that includes you. That He wants to rejoice in us. Have you noticed that verse in the Old Testament where He said that He rejoices over us like the bridegroom over the bride? You ever think of that? You remember when you got newly married? God rejoices in us. He loves us. He created us to have a relationship with Him and to find pleasure and joy in being one with Him. That, of course, has its requirements on our part that the brethren talked about last night. Because our greatest hindrance to fellowshipping with God is our own pride and selfishness. Next, I'd like to read a few verses on He is sovereign. The word sovereign means that He rules over everything. No matter what's happening in 2021, God's still sovereign. Exodus 15:18 says, "The Lord shall reign." That word is Jehovah shall reign forever and ever. I'd like to just encourage us. Some of you, I have recently, I've been through some difficult times. What about you? Have you been through some hard times? Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we have things. But this is such a comfort that my God will reign forever and ever. I want to follow Him through these hard times and learn from Him. But He is still Lord, He is still King. 1 Chronicles 29:11, that's a well-known one. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Now, I just want to remind you again. As I read this, please meditate on this. This is more powerful than what I tell you in between the verses. When you listen to the Word of God, it is much more powerful than my comments on it. Thine, O Lord, Thine, O Jehovah, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. This needs some more words to keep going. For all that is in heaven and on earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Jehovah. And Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee. And Thou reignest over all. And in Thine hand is power and might. And in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. He is all, and He has it all. He has all we need. He can give strength when we feel weak. And when we feel weak and we turn to Him, I hope you've experienced that. I have again and again. I get a little older. I still feel like I'm young, but I look in the mirror and the color of my hair and my grandchildren tell them I'm getting a little older. But as I get older, I don't sleep as well as I sleep well. And I wake up nights and I lay awake in those precious moments if I do the right thing, to worship, to pray, to ask Him for help, and He meets me. Jesus meets us. It's so beautiful, this great God. I'm sorry I'm getting off on a little trail here, but it's so beautiful, this great God. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus heads, He leads us. And if we call out to Him and we seek Him, we find Him. And He meets our needs. Sorry, let's go on with the verses. Psalms 83:18. That men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. 115:3. Psalms 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He doth whatsoever He hath pleased. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, a proud man like so many of us. God took care of that. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. I think there's all at once, he lifts up and he thinks about God. And my, when he did that, my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, "Why, what doest thou?" Nothing, no one, nothing can stop God. Now, as far as His work in my life, I can stop that. But as far as what God is doing and His plan, there is nothing that can stop Him. He is in charge. 2021, He's still in charge. Then Revelations, I'll finish with this one on this. Revelations 19:6. And as I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of as of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." We need to meditate on that, find comfort in that fact that He reigns, He's sovereign. I'd like to talk a little more about that later here. The next one, I'm just read some verses. He is omnipotent. That means His power is not limited. Our power is limited. You know, sometimes we feel sort of strong. Sometimes we think our capacities are, because we have these computers, you know, what can you do with these things? Take the computer away from you, take all your fancy tools and the things away and put you all by yourself, and you discover you're not very powerful after all. We are very, very limited in what we can do. Very limited in what we can do. But God's ability and power has no limit. You understand that? I don't. But I believe it. No limit. Omnipotent. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Believe that. We can believe that. Even though I'm in a very difficult situation right now, that's still there. He has not changed. Matthew 19. Others, I'm just picking a few verses. There's so many verses on this. Matthew 26:19. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God..." You know the rest, don't you? "All things are possible." Say it together. Let's say it together. "All things are possible." We get in contact with that power, with Him. Limitless power. It's all there. All we need. Now, I have discovered in my life that God does not just give us power to make a show. He gives us power as we need it and for what we need it. We shouldn't try to make a show of this and try to, you know, show off to the power of God. He won't necessarily, he won't back that kind of a proud spirit. You know, we want to show off what God is. But for every need you have, for everything He wants you to do, there's all the power there to do that. He doesn't give you power to do someone else's job. You can maybe criticize the other person and tear him down, but He doesn't give you the ability and the power to do someone else's job, but He gives you all you need to do what He wants you to do. All power. And then Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." And again, Revelations. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." Oh, no, that's the one I just read, but I'll read it again. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Sometimes you think it's almost too much. The next one, "He is holy." He is holy, He is sanctified, He is perfect. Again, it's a word that's hard for us to understand. We are so unholy. But His holiness, He is sanctified, set apart, clean, perfect. And so Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods?" other gods, idols, demons, what all is involved here. Who is like unto Thee, Jehovah? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Glorious in holiness. Holiness is glory. We have a problem sometimes. We've been influenced by humanism or something where we think, sometimes I catch people that, I see it quite often, that think that holiness is sort of black and white or gray and boring. That it's more fun to go out and do, you know, certain things. But there is nothing more exciting and more beautiful than holiness. In Thy presence, what did it say? Is fullness of joy. Don't let the demons and the devil deceive you into believing that it's boring to be a holy servant of the Lord. That it's boring to serve God. Revelations 4. Oh, and Matthew 5:48, it uses the word perfect, but I think it's synonymous. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's a lot of words. We're very far from perfection. How do we become perfect? I'll just throw this in quickly. We become when we know Jesus. We connect with Jesus, and then in Ephesians, it tells us that as a body, we come to the full stature of Jesus Christ. None of us is that on our own. But each one together in Jesus, together in a unity, working together, we become to be like the glory of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's exciting. I don't know what can be more exciting than that. To work with our brethren, overcome our problems and hang-ups we have sometimes and things. Overcome that to where we can work together and show the world the glory of holiness. The glory of love and working together. Holy living. Revelations 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Those three words, Lord God Almighty, I got this out of the dictionary. Holy, 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 Lord, supreme in authority. God, the supreme divinity, the Almighty, the all-ruling one. Holy, holy, holy. He is worthy, and I'm looking forward to that day. Can you imagine? I've enjoyed singing here. Let me do some more, Brother John. You know, there's a difference between singing the notes all right and having everything perfected and comes like an entertainment when you sense the Spirit of God moving. Oh. Hmm. I've seen people that can't even sing. They can't even carry a tune in a basket, like some say. But they worship. And I love to worship with them. Because He is worthy, and someday we'll get to heaven. And I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I'm looking forward to that. But you know, I want to start now. I want to worship Him now. He is truth. Here's a beautiful one that we often... What is truth? What determines what is truth? God's character determines what is truth. It's not that He sits down, okay, I'm going to make a list of things, da, 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 da. This is true. Here you go. You've got it. We've got it here, yes. But His character is what determines what is true, because He doesn't just decide, He is truth. And that's why truth is invincible. You cannot destroy truth. You can lie against it. You can believe deceit. You can do whatever you want. But truth still stands. Because what is true, and God is truth. And that's why Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock. Stable. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. Isn't that wonderful? We could speak a few hours just on that verse. But Psalm 43:3 says, O send out Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into Thy holy hill and to Thy tabernacle. Light and truth. He is light. He is truth. Knowing Him leads us into the tabernacle, into His presence with Him. Psalm 105, For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. God's truth is being, it seems like it's worse than ever, right? How the world is going against truth. And people are so confused they don't even know what truth is. And we have the wonderful opportunity to show them what truth is. Tell them and show them in our families, in our churches, in the way we do business. Remember that. It's much better to lose a few $1,000 that the truth of Jesus comes through than being so selfish and not want to lose the money. But wherever we leave, whatever we do, we should be revealing truth, the truth that and don't believe the lies of the enemy. We need to catch each other. Remember one day I was saying to my brother Phil about a book that I read. And I said, yeah. Some time ago, he says, yeah. But you know, Mark, he says, not all of that's in the Bible. Caught me. And he was right. We can read things, but we need to compare everything. We have one book that's above all books, and we know this one is sound. This is truth. But we need to be careful. We're in a world of deception. Many people are deceived. Unfortunately, many religious people, many Christians, supposed Christians, are deceived. But truth stands, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Knowing Jesus, we talk about the character of God, talk about the character of Jesus. Jesus' way of living, what He said, what He did, is truth. And I'd again like to encourage us, let's just throw this in, study the life of Jesus. I had someone challenge me day before yesterday. Do you really live what Jesus said? Do you really live what Jesus said? I appreciate a challenge like that. But I'd like to encourage us to look and seek for Jesus. We've known Him all along. We say, I've known Him ever since I was a little child. But to know the real Jesus, because we might have certain aspects of Him that we're overlooking. We might have some wrong concepts about Jesus. Seek for Jesus in His Word, because He is truth and life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said also in His prayer, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Can you imagine what we'd be without this? Some people, it's pretty common anymore. Now they want to follow the Spirit, and they say, this is sort of like the law, so we have to put this aside and just follow the Spirit. But you know, anything you know worth knowing comes from this. And if it doesn't come from here, doubt it. Doubt it. The older I get, I've got lots of books and I like reading. But the older I get, the less, and there's still a lot of good books, and I like books too. I'm not saying that. But this is the book we need to know and we need to read. It's the only one that we're safe. Now, those are attributes. We could go on and on. We could spend 100 years. His justice, His righteousness, His faithfulness. Isn't it wonderful that God is faithful? Absolutely faithful. Never changes. His word is true. He is faithful. Now, we just looked at a few of them. I want to look at some more tomorrow, Lord willing. But how does this character affect me? What we read and what we... And I hope you were able to worship Him. There's different ways of worship. We can worship singing. We can worship listening to the Word of God. I worship listening to Dale. Last night I worshiped listening to Brother David. I hope to continue worshiping with you as we lift up our God and open our hearts. But how does this worship affect me? I would like to encourage us. We're busy. Brother Dale, I was going to say you stepped on my toes. It was worse than that. When you said about the thing of taking time and sometimes we're so busy. I like to get up in the morning. That's my goal. Get up. The first thing I do is I make a cup of coffee, and then I spend time with the Lord in prayer. It's not the Word. But I'll admit to you, sometimes I get so busy. And now that I've been traveling, when Herelot is going in there, and what was also said about, what you said about John Wesley. Was it John Wesley 5:30 and some of that, you know? Something that we, all of our brethren, I've told the brethren at home, we should all worship God daily. Here's the example of touching, like the woman that had the flujo de sangre, the flow of blood, I'm translating to Spanish, and she touched His garment. And she felt the power coming from Him. I'd like to say we know on a daily basis, and if our brethren need it, how much more we as servants of God? Daily. It takes discipline, it takes time, in prayer, in worship, and in your prayer time, like Brother Dale said, it's not just give me this and da-da-da-da-da and run off a bunch of names. Now, I've got a lot of people I like to pray for. I can't pray for everyone that I know. There's too many. But I do like to pray for every member in the church. Take time for that. But there's a very important part of our worship is worship. I like to start off, Brother John, I was using your songbook there. Thank you. I was using that a while. My wife does. But I was reading through some of the songs to start my time of prayer. Some of those songs in the beginning of the book there, I haven't got through them yet. Sometimes I hear my wife in the bedroom and she's singing them. I don't sing them, but I read them. And as I look at the greatness of God in these songs and I worship Him, it prepares my heart to pray and then to listen to Him. Brethren, if anyone needs to listen, it's us. We need this time. We need to all have time. You know, this. I don't want to be critical. God bless you. But there's, in the history of the world, I think there's never been people that make so much money as you do and have so many things on your hand. I too. I mean, we're just a few steps behind you. You know, all these things we have. But our lives are so agitated and so... We, especially we as men of God, we need times of quietness. Set aside a time. You know, like Dale said, we have time to preach, we don't have time to pray. Doesn't that sound awful? I've used this one, we have time to eat. 3 times a day, sometimes more. But we don't have time to pray. What does that say on us? But we need to take time, like to encourage us all, not just here together, it's beautiful together. Let's go home and make it a daily practice to not just get down and brrr. Prayer life, for some people, is boring. But if we get to the thing of connecting with our Father, worshiping, listening, reading the Bible in that way, we need to do that on a daily basis. And it cleans us up. It straightens us out. To be a man after God's own heart, we must allow Him to form His heart in my heart. Yes, the Lord has done wonderful things in my life. I appreciate so much what He's done. But I still see the things that He needs to do. There's a few things like my relationship with my family. You don't see this. Dale knows it. I like to speak on the family. I like to teach on the family. It's one of my things I like to teach about. But I know how sometimes in the family I can sort of harden my heart, be a little abrupt and a little rough. And I'm asking God that I could be more gentle. More gentle with my family. And there's so many areas like this we need to grow. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's not that the glory of God is limited, but our limitations as human, it's like in a glass. It's not very clear, but we see Him and are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that does it. But we seek Him. We seek His face. We call out to Him. And I don't think of anything more exciting to me. I have a hard time getting excited about business. If you enjoy it, do it good. But remember something that's more important. Our business should be a business that brings glory to the Almighty God of Heaven. Because I don't know of anything more exciting than this thing that He takes me, this poor me. Poor Mark. I know who I am. You don't, but I do. But you know who you are. And He wants to take us glory to glory. People contacted you. One time I had the honor. It's an honor. I was giving out literature and witnessing house to house, and this lady looked at me and she said, "I see something in your eyes. What's about your face, your joy in your face, in your eyes?" Wow, that was a compliment. I don't care necessarily how I look in some other ways, but there was another case. It was an old rough man, and he told me, and this woman was a sister in the church. She was not beautiful according to world standards of beauty. I wish you could forget that anyway, the world standards. She wasn't beautiful. But she was a very friendly, kind, and he said, "That woman is beautiful." But it was her character. Yeah. And so the glory of the Lord should come through. You notice that? Have you thought about it? That even our testimony is in our eyes? The way you look at people? The way you relate to people? Go around scowling and frowning at people and ignoring people. Remember, the kingdom of God is people. We need buildings. We need cars. We need some money. We need, you know, all this. But the kingdom of God is people. And so I'm getting off on my subject here, sorry. But to find the glory of Jesus is to connect with people and to display the glory of Jesus to people. Now, looking at this great big God, I get this from a poem, I think it was, "The steeds of God, the horse of God is marching forward." Bunk, bunk, bunk. Bunk. Time is moving on, 2020, 2021, 2022, dump, dump, and God's got total control of what's happening. And I would like to encourage you, so I'll throw a little something in here. We're going through some very interesting times. I don't understand it all. I don't know what all is happening. But some very different things are happening in our world. But God's in control. We don't need to understand everything. It's interesting to talk about some things that are happening. But God is in control. And as you look at the Old Testament, you see God moves nations. God has control over the nations. And I understand why we love the United States. And I might not have the same love for it as you do. Not that I don't like it. But I've lived in another country most of my life. But you know, we love the United States. We like our country and all the benefits we've had. And we see it's going bad. Things are getting worse all over the world, not only here. There's the abortion thing. There's the homosexual, the gay movement. But you know, in the Roman Empire, they also had abortion. But the New Testament doesn't really mention it. In the Didache, which is the writing of the apostles, written around a year 100 or so around there. In there it says, in one of their statements, is, "We do not kill people, and we do not kill babies before they're born." Because it was happening. They were doing it at that time. That's all it says. Homosexuality also. Some of the emperors were homosexuals. It was rampant. The New Testament is clear. It doesn't even mention abortion, but it's easy to... That's so obvious, it's easy. You know, we don't need to worry about it. But you notice the New Testament has no emphasis on changing the Roman Empire. And I would really like to encourage us as people of God. I think it's sort of discouraging to see how people get so involved in politics and they go out for this, and the person we were going for lost. Where does that put us? Where does that put God? Well, God moves nations. Who mentioned it? Was it this morning, Brother John, or was it someone mentioned that nations that can become corrupt, they go down. They always do. Yeah, John said that. The Roman Empire corrupted from within. What's happened in the United States? Corrupting from within. That's obvious if you study history. The United States is going down. And I'm not, you know, it's just wrong. But, you know, God doesn't want to do that. But let's leave that to God. When, how? We need to get another president in. Through this all, what is God doing up there? That's His business. I can't even start. I don't understand things well. I'm so short of knowledge. But one thing we know is what God wants us to do today. If not, you study the last chapter of the Bible. That's a beautiful book. A beautiful chapter. That is something that tells us what we need to be doing. We need to be building the kingdom. We don't get anywhere. We don't need to join these protests and all this thing against abortion, against homosexuality. We just show them the real thing. Young men serving God, ladies serving the Lord, Christian homes that work, a church that works. And you know, it's getting dark out there. It's getting worse. But we're going to the Lord Jesus is going to shine all the more. That's the solution to this world. I'm not getting involved in all this. I get a little discouraged. That's the wrong word. I get a little perturbed sometimes when I see people getting so involved in politics and they're missing what God's wanting to do. What is God doing? I had the opportunity of being in the COVID ward in the hospital. Oh, wow. If you want a good mission field, go to the COVID ward. I was there for 11 days. But those people, and I had a ministry, I almost wish I could go back. No, I'm not asking for the COVID again. But it was what is God doing? Don't worry about where, I don't know, and I'm not going to worry about where the virus came from. I know what God is doing. Let us be on God's side and do His part. God is moving forward. God's in charge. Absolutely nothing and no one can change God's plans. What God has designed, what God is going to do, is moving forward. And we need to keep in step with Him, doing what He wants us to do. And like I said, the New Testament does not talk about our responsibility changing governments. We pray. We influence them. I've thought about that at home in our little hometown. Our church has influenced the town. Just the fact that we're there. And we witness, but just the fact that we're there and they see. There's an influence. I'd say some up here, some of them scatter you out a little bit more. Sorry for saying that, but scatter us out a little more so that people can see the real thing. Now, kingdoms of this world. I'm going to go a little, lay awake last night, Brother David, thinking about your message and thinking about some things. And the glory of God and me. Just the other day, I was asked to speak in a situation which is very different than what I'm used to speaking in. And it's going to be short. I think I did it in 12 minutes. But they asked me to speak somewhere. So I was seeking, Lord. And I'm more concerned about my spirit than exactly what I'm going to say. And I was praying, get my heart ready. Lord, just 10 minutes. But a 10 minutes of anointed sharing. And I was working with that. And then you know what happened? I was in a little apartment here. It was in Ohio. And I checked my email a little bit. And wham! I got two emails. I got some others. I get too many emails. But I got this one email where a brother was criticizing me and for what I stand for. And he misunderstood me. He was giving me some accusations that weren't true. Then there was another email from a dear brother I love. And this is something we've been talking back. It wasn't the first time, but we've been talking about some, you know, relationships are not easy to keep. And so, anyway, this brother sent me an email in the good spirit, something we need to discuss about, and he shared with me some of my weaknesses. And as usual, I could think he doesn't quite understand me. You know, he doesn't quite understand me, but he has reason. But anyways, you know what happened? All at once, my flesh kicks in. Bang! I got these two emails. We are so good at defending ours. Have you ever noticed how you can argue alone? You've got all the answers. You can convince everyone they're wrong and you're the only one right. I started into that mode, you know. And I thought, hey, this is the morning I was going to be speaking in about 2 hours. Hey, wow. The first thing I thought about, oh, that devil's working on me. Sends this right now when I need the anointing, I need the devil's working on me. And I knew the answer. You do too. Humble yourself. Give up. Surrender. Give up your reputation and die. By the time I was finished with that, it wasn't the devil. The Lord had sent it to get me ready to share. He was answering my prayer. To be humble and not self-sufficient. You know what that's like? How many times we get accused, oh, it's not fair. Sure, it's not fair. They should be honoring the minister instead of accusing them, instead of criticizing us. But those opportunities are beautiful opportunities to worship. Because what I was doing there, I was sitting on an apartment, I was sitting on a couch there, and I was struggling with this. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, I understand. I want to give up. I want to surrender. No more defense. I'm going to give this up. You know what I was doing? Worshiping. Giving God glory. And say, Lord, I know it. That's just me. This is just me again. This is just Mark again. And I look to you and worship you, and you help me. Worship. And so I'd like to encourage us. We get criticized. Anyone that's in leadership gets criticized. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're right. But even if they're wrong, when you humble yourself, truth is still truth. Truth stays. No one can change the truth. It doesn't hurt you. We always win by humbling ourselves and giving in. Just saying, Lord, I let it go. I let it go. I will not defend myself. I'll just let it go. When we do that, we often find out the truth has a little bit against me too. Not just the other one. But even so, I think that's one of the words. Brother David, I'm just extending a little bit on your message last night. God gives us... Have you ever noticed? I've noticed it personally. I've noticed in other people's lives. How God is almost unrelentless. He just... Dunk. He just hits you again. He hits you again. He hits you again. And you say, what's all this going on here? Why? What's going on? Well, unfortunately, I didn't do too well in school. I taught school for 6 years. I loved teaching. But when I was in school, I didn't do very well. I thought it was too late or something. I didn't learn my multiplication facts. I think it was sixth grade. How did I do multiplication before that? Well, we won't go into that. But there was a teacher who said, Mark, and Paulo was right with me. There's Mark and Paulo. He was in fifth grade and I was in sixth, I think it was. This teacher, I appreciate and I admire him for doing this. He said, Mark, you're not having recess until you learn this. So he sat with us. And we'd have recess and da-da-da-da-da over again and over again until I learned the multiplication facts. And I thank him for that. You know? Do you ever think about God bringing something and He brings it again and He brings it again and God saying, son, I want to see you respond right. I want to see you humble yourself. Have you ever noticed what happens when you walk and smash mint tea? What do you do when you smash it? You walk on and stomp. What happens? It's another sweet smell. And sometimes God wants us to go through that experience of humbling ourselves in His presence. We can go on and on. I trust. If we look at this great big God, He's absolutely trustworthy. I believe in Him. I love Him. But do I totally trust Him? Sometimes yes. Sometimes I struggle with it. But you know, a person that's totally surrendered and totally trusts, there's no limits what God can do. I was in the COVID ward, and that was a good experience. I don't think I was that close to dying. I had pneumonia in my lungs. But it was a good experience. We thought about it. My whole family did. Just a week or two before, a man right, a lot younger than I, right beside the church house, died with COVID. And so now Dad's in the hospital. I didn't want to go to the hospital. You know how it is. We don't want to admit it. We don't want to... Even though I was taking my oxygen and my oxygen was too low, I knew it was, but I can't believe it. One night about midnight, my son's getting... And I said, Dad, don't you think you should go to the hospital? We had prayer together. And I said, yes, I'll go. You know, yes, I'll go. I was glad my sons did that. In the hospital, I struggled. I thought a lot of things, Brother Dale. I thought about my church. I thought about my family. And I thought about a lot of things, you know. And I was thinking, well, Lord, if this is it, I'm willing to go. And I came to the point where I said, Lord, if you brought me here, I accept it. I accept this as your will for me right now. Then they told me they were going to send me off to another hospital because my oxygen was so low they were going to send me to another hospital. Fortunately, that night, some other people went ahead and they didn't send me right away. I sent word out to my wife. There was another sister from our churches, Amanda Schrock, was in the hospital. She sent a text up to Oregon, said, "Pray for Mark, he's not doing good." And that Wednesday night, and I don't know who all was praying for me, the next day the doctor said, "Hey, you're getting better, we're not sending you anymore." So I praise the Lord for that. But during that time, I had some real struggles. I had some real internal struggles, and I would find rest, Brother David. Like we said last one, rest, and I'd say, "Lord, I don't know. I think the people outside were praying." One of the brethren said, he almost insisted, "God, don't let Mark die." That's fine, but I wasn't praying that way. I was saying, "Lord, your will be done." And then I'd find peace. And I came to worship Him in a new way and to love Him in a new way. So I thank Him for that experience. In a moment when I felt so weak, what could I do? What could I, you know, just trust God, and it's precious to me because I came to love Him and worship Him in a little different way, turning it over to Him. I also saw that God's going to take care of my wife, my sons, they're there, and I said, "Lord, whatever's your will," and I found rest and surrender. A lot of our struggles, if we surrender and give in and say, "Lord, your glory be done, your will be done. If this is it, 64 years. Became what I call my COVID sanctuary. My brother, my sister, Brother Paulo sent me a song on my phone. My daughter sent me, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." I was weak in the oxygen. I could talk, but my voice was, I couldn't sing. I'm so glad, I was a little worried about that a while. I'm so glad I can sing again. But when my daughter sent me, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and I put it here, I couldn't sing, but I could worship. My spirit soared as I worshiped Him, laying in the hospital. My spirit, I like to encourage, we need to die. And that was a little interesting experience for me. I don't want to play it up, but we need to accept when something comes our way, no matter how hard it is, that we humble ourselves and worship. And worship the Almighty God. Because He is faithful. We can trust Him. When I walked out of the hospital, did I cry? I cried like a little boy, or not like my wife. Because I knew. I gave Him the right. I told Him again and again, "Lord, if you want to take me, it's okay." Because I knew a lot of people He does. But anyway, I would just like to encourage us to worship. We could go on and on. I even thought that, I've talked too much. As we look at the greatness of God and your own life, I've used a few little examples. Some of those I got last night laying awake in bed. I don't have many notes on this part, but as you listen to greatness of God, the power of God, tomorrow we'll look at some beautiful ones. God is good. And as you look at that, did it speak to anything in your life? I don't know. That probably varies from one to the other. But we can trust Him. Totally trust Him. And you can totally surrender and give up. You won't lose anything. Even though the accusations are false, many people misunderstand, give up, surrender, die to it, and you find rest. In other words, the first He says, "Come unto Me and I will give you rest." The next one is, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me that I am," brother, I'm just going to repeat what he said last night, "meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your," what? Souls. There's a deeper rest. And that is worship. When you get to that point, you worship. Give up and say, "Lord, I surrender." And worship. God bless you. I'd just like to encourage us all to keep worshiping. And tomorrow we'll worship again. Okay?